Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Welcome to the United Cast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host, Matthew, and today we're going to do a very special 30th birthday special episode. I am recording this a couple of weeks before my birthday because I've got time and I thought, hey, why not? So for those of you that don't know, so I was born 17th of April, 94, which would today, yes, on the 17th of April, 2024, would make me 30 years old. Am I old yet? Does that make me old? I don't think so. Well, I say that now, I haven't actually turned 30 quite yet, so we'll see how I feel on the day. But no, still feel young and youthful and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, for those of you that don't know, now I assume most of our listeners, at least over the last couple of years, would at least be aware that I support Manchester United. I love Manchester United, and have done since, not necessarily like Toy Story early days, although did probably follow the team from, let's say, 94 to 99-ish, although I was very, very young, obviously, in that period of time, but I've, anyway, known and loved and followed Manchester United since my earliest memories, basically. I just don't know how seriously I was watching football when I was, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, so to speak, but anyway, yeah, the actual reason I am called Matt or Matthew, I do prefer Matt, but doesn't matter, is because I was named after the late great, well, the now late great Sir Matt Busby. So there's our first bit of history. Now, today, I think we're all going to learn a new thing or two, because I don't know, well, I've just had a little scroll through Sir Matt Busby's information. I do have his Wikipedia page up. Now, I'm not going to sit here and just read this like a book. I'm not going to read everything because there is a lot of stuff here, but obviously he had had quite a full life from what I'm seeing. There's a lot of stuff going on. We'll go through some of the basic things and just talk about him and talk about what he's won and what he's done, and also an interesting timing on when I was born and when he died and how that kind of makes more sense than what I realized before. I have asked my parents, by the way, in the past, because this isn't just going to be about Sir Matt Busby, it's also going to be about me and how, you know, that all ties in and stuff. I did say to them, like, if I was born, let's say, later or something, and I would obviously be younger now, would you have called me Alex? Because obviously, Sir Alex Ferguson, all that kind of stuff. And they said, you know, possibly, they don't know, like, exactly if that would have happened, but that would have been, you know, a possibility, which I suppose is really, really nice. Because whether it's Sir Alex Ferguson, Sir Bobby Charlton, Sir Matt Busby, any of these absolute legends, I wouldn't mind being named after any of them, really. But
Matt made sense for when he passed away and when I was born. Just to kind of jump to that first, I don't mean to jump to this guy's death first, but I didn't, because see, again, we're going to be learning new stuff. I'm going to be learning new things today. He passed away on the 20th of January 1994. So my mum, yes, would have been still pregnant at the time, obviously born in April. So you go 9 months back from April. And maybe that was what spurred on. I don't know what, like how many months before I was born they decided my name, or if they decided it straight away. I don't know the extent to that information, but that kind of makes sense. Like, you know, for about 4 months before this legend of the football club that my dad loves passed away, and then I was born just a few months later. I think that's kind of sad, but also nice at the same time. You know, you did have a legend that passed away, but then he was given a son, and I hope he's all right with that. So, that's kind of how that all lines up. Because I maybe embarrassingly so, although this is why we're here today, so I can learn more about him, and you can as well, and you can learn, I suppose, a bit more about me. I didn't really know his date of birth or his date of death. I've just never come across that information. I've also never really seen it. You know, like when you're watching Man United and they mention certain like anniversaries. Obviously, there's the Munich air crash disaster linked here as well, and you get those mentioned when the anniversary comes up. I don't remember too many games that have like been in and around the 20th of January that have like mentioned that. So that is the first time I'm actually learning of that. So yeah, sooner rather than later, which is good. So just go through some of his information. I'm not going to bother reading out his height because I don't think that's quite so relevant. Full name Alexander Matthew Busby, of course. Sir Matt Busby is what I know him as. 26th of May 1909. You think of how long ago that was. 1909 was when he was born. But birth of place was Scotland, which kind of lines up a little bit with some of Man United's history. You know, you've got Sir Alex Ferguson as well, Scottish man, all that kind of stuff. Date of death, 20th of January 1994. He was 84 years old. Now, if you're someone who's won a good few honours, and we'll obviously talk about what he's won in a minute, and you know, you win some league titles, not Premier League titles, obviously Premier League didn't exist when he was managing and stuff. If you can, you know, do that, win some things for Man United, and live until 84, I think that's pretty good. You know, because some people obviously do die very, very much too young. 84, you know, there's still some years left in there and everything, but I still think that's a good age with what he did manage to achieve. So that's, you know, sad but bittersweet, but also nice at the same time. Positions, he was, what the hell is this, right half and inside forward. We've had new names for different positions over the years, haven't we? I remember when I started watching football, and it was left midfield, right midfield, 4-4-2 was more of the standard. Obviously now you have like one up front, you've got basically three or five in midfield now. You know, the midfield three can be moved around a bit, because they probably didn't have the same named positions when he was playing and things like that. Obviously you'd still have probably a striker or a goalkeeper, but right half and inside forward. I'm gonna guess right half is like a right wing sort of position then. I don't think that doesn't sound like a right back position. An inside forward, that sounds almost a little bit like what Rashford does. I know Rashford does play on the left wing, but he's not really a winger winger, is he? He's more of a kind of in, like, you know, cutting insides forward. So I'm kind of imagining the same type of role here. Let's go through. I'm going to go through his. It says his early life. I'm going to go through parts of that first, and then go through his senior career. Sorry, the not the early life. Sorry, the actual just like general information on him. Sir Alexander Matthew Busby, CBE, 26th of May 1909 to 20th of January 1994, was a Scottish footballer. Sorry, football player and manager who managed Manchester United between 1945 and 1969, and again for the second half of 1970 and 71. He was the first manager of an English team to win the European Cup. That's lovely. And is widely regarded as one of the greatest managers of all time. We got a couple of them, haven't we? We got a couple of them greatest managers of all time. Sir Alex Ferguson as well, of course. Here's where a bit of a twist comes in, however. Before going into management, Busby was a player for two of Manchester United's greatest rivals, Manchester City and Liverpool. During his time at City, Busby played in two FA Cup finals, winning one of them after his playing career was interrupted by the Second World War. That's pretty wild to think about in terms of, you know, you think of the First and the Second World War and you think of football. And football did happen before, I suppose, a bit, and, you know, after. A bit during and also after as well. But it's kind of crazy to think back to, like, it's actually, you know, 1940s, isn't it? The Second World War. And, like, to just think about all that long time ago. That's like, a long, long time ago. Busby was offered the job of assistant coach at Liverpool, but they were unwilling to give him the control he wanted over the first team as a result. I'm glad he did that, because as we've learned from some recent Manchester United examples, if you're not quite getting what you want as a manager, how are you going to be able to do what you want? That literally does apply right now to Erik ten Hag and also some previous managers as well. Obviously, it depends on the circumstance. But while unwilling to give him control of what he wanted over the first team, as a result, he took the vacant manager's job at Manchester United instead, where he built the famous Busby Babes. That team won successive Football League First Division titles and challenged for the European Cup. Eight of these players died in the Munich air disaster, but Busby rebuilt the team and won several more First Division titles and domestic trophies, of course, FA Cups, things like that, before United won the European Cup a decade later. A total of 25 years with the club. I think that's 2 years fewer than Alex Ferguson, because he did 27, I think, which is pretty wild. He won 13 trophies, including five league championships. It's funny what we used to call, we just associate so much of, like, oh yeah, it's the league title, it's the Premier League title, but it's only been that since 93. And you think of how posh, like, because how kind of cool and prestige does Premier League title sound? Obviously, it's because of, you know, Barclays Premier League. And it used to be called, like, the English First Division. That's such a sort of British thing to call it, isn't it? The British First Division. You could almost say it in, like, a really posh voice, but I'm not going to try that. 13 trophies, including five championships and the European Cup. I'm not going to go through his Liverpool Man United career, because I don't think we really... Well, we've just read a bit of that already. We're going to read about a bit of that in a minute. So, again, like I said, you know, 84 is a good age anyway, I think. You know, obviously people have died that have been older and obviously younger. But if you can do all of that in your life, plus, like, go through the whole World War thing, go through the Munich air disaster, and still pretty much come out on top, be remembered as a legend, have a statue of yourself, be called Sir, you know, Sir Matt Busby, and have someone like me named after you. Of course, that's at the bottom of the pile. That's pretty incredible. You've got to consider, like, see, that's what I mean when, I don't want to get too much into this, but you know, in, like, recent years, right, when Klopp and Pep have won things, and it's like, oh, they're the greatest. And it's like, you might want to, like, it, and that's such strong recency bias, I think, as well. And look, you know, if your team now, today, wins something, you've got the right to be happy about that. But my thing as well with that is, as well, when you look at what Sir Matt Busby's done here, when you look at what Sir Alex Ferguson has done, if you are a modern day, you know, Pep or a Klopp or Ancelotti or whoever you are doing well in the modern day, you don't have to do as well as Alex Ferguson or Sir Matt Busby to be a good manager. You can still do well enough yourself, you know. I mean, yeah, okay, if you want to be one of the greatest of all time, you do have to reach the level here of Sir Matt Busby and Sir Alex Ferguson. I'm not trying to be, you know, a biased Man United fan, but look at what these people kind of went through and stuff. Obviously, Sir Matt Busby went through, you could argue, definitely more than what Sir Alex Ferguson did. You know, Alex Ferguson didn't go through the Munich air disaster, he didn't go through obviously the World War and stuff like that. That's on a different level. Obviously, what Sir Alex Ferguson still did was absolutely incredible. But there always seems to be this modern day immediate kind of, oh my God, City won a title, they're better than Sir Alex Ferguson. And it's like, you don't have to be, you can still be in like the top 10 greatest and still be really, really good and still be happy with your own achievements. Because to aspire to reach a level of a Sir Alex Ferguson or a Sir Matt Busby, it's just something more special than just, oh, you've won some things and you're really good. I don't know, that's just kind of what I think anyway. So let's not get too much into that. What else do I want to read here? So yeah, I didn't know he played for City or for Liverpool. To be honest, I wasn't completely, obviously I was aware of the Munich air disaster and he'd won a lot of things. I didn't know specifically how many of what each thing. But what I was generally most aware of was, okay, the Busby Babes, the World War stuff, how he rebuilt the Busby Babes, and all those sorts of things. Even that in of itself is just a really quite incredible achievement. What else do we want? There's so many things there. I'm just trying to think of what next to go to. Because there's so much information, I don't want to read like too much of all of it or whatever. Let's go to the Busby Babes and the Munich tragedy. So during this period, the team picked up the affectionate name the Busby Babes because of the youthfulness, which was like, again, Man United's bread and butter is the academy, you know, class of 92, Busby Babes, all those sorts of things. Not quite so much nowadays. Like, we're grateful for Kobe and we're grateful for, you know, Garnacho and stuff, but the Busby Babes and the class of 92, they're a different breed, they're a different special thing. So yeah, but anyway, youth, Man United, I mean, youth should be important in any football club, but we've been incredibly successful with our youth over the years. Anyway, during this period, the team picked up the affectionate name the Busby Babes because of the youthfulness of many different players he fielded. They won the league in both, and we will read his actual full list of honours in a moment. They won the league in both 1956 and 1957 and were runners-up to Aston Villa in the 1957 FA Cup final. For those of you who don't know, the FA Cup itself goes back a long, long time. So does the European Cup. Obviously, that's called the Champions League, and the Carabao Cup is quite new. So the young side was so successful that centre forward Tommy Taylor and goalkeeper Harry Gregg were United's only major signings over a spell of almost 5 years. So our team was basically so good that we just didn't really need to add to it. And I suppose if they're all youthful, I'm going to assume like teenagers or young 20s. Yeah, you can. I mean, we did kind of. I learned this obviously with the modern kind of. Obviously, I'm a bit more personally familiar with the class of '92 because it was around when I was born, like Beckham, Scholes, Keane, Giggs, and all that. But yeah, if you do somehow, it's crazy to think of now because of like how much squads get rebuilt. But you can kind of, if you do have a load of players between the age of, let's say, 18 to 24. And they are just winning stuff over and over again, like this Busby Babes team did. I'm not saying you don't need to chop and change certain players, but that can set you up for like the next 10 years, or 5 to 10 years. Like it says here, not only a couple of major signings over the next 5 years. Yeah, it's wild to think about how different things were back then. Busby and his team began the 1957 to 1958. Ready for a second bid to win the treble of the Football League title, the FA Cup, and the European Cup. Obviously, that was, I don't think, the Europa League and certainly the Conference League wasn't. That's a very new thing, the Conference League. That's literally a couple of years old. I think it was just the European Cup. I don't think there was like a Europa League style thing back then. Just the same way that there wasn't, I don't think the Carabao Cup existed back then either. So you couldn't win a quadruple, I don't think, because the quadruple now, Premier League, Champions League, FA Cup, Carabao Cup. Yeah, but a second bid to win the treble of the Football League title, the FA Cup and the European Cup. On the way home from a European Cup tie against Red Star Belgrade, I don't know who that is or if they're still around. On 6th of February 1958, the plane crashed on the runway at Munich Airport. 7 United players died, and 3 club officials were among the 21 people who died at the scene, while Duncan Edwards died from his injuries 2 weeks later, as the final death toll reached 23. So, yeah, a lot of people. Two other players, Johnny Berry and Jackie Blanchflower, were injured to such extent that they never played football again. So they didn't die, but they just had, their injuries are too horrific. Bosby's old friend from Manchester City, the goalkeeper Frank Swift, who had travelled to Munich in his post-playing career as a journalist, also died. Bosby suffered multiple injuries and twice received the last rites. I'm not sure what that is. But he recovered from his injuries and left the hospital after 9 weeks. Yeah, that's, I don't really have that sort of thing. I obviously have plane crashes in this day and age, but not like a good chunk of a team getting wiped out. But you think of the fact that not only did, let me just look at, this bit here. Yeah, not only did he go on to then seemingly win things after, but the fact that you even recover at all after that. I mean, you think of the, if obviously don't wish this on anybody, but if that would happen now and stuff, how teams would deal with that now. But yeah, the fact that, like, okay, some of them died, that's very tragic and bad and everything, but the fact that you not only recovered, rebuilt the team a bit, but then kept going and winning things afterwards is a really, really stunning achievement, and that's something we should definitely remember as well. Because I'm sitting there trying to think, okay, what would have been, obviously, like the trauma of the whole thing, recovering from all of it and everything, some of that Busby himself recovering from things, not quitting, I suppose. Like, some of these people could have just said, like, hey, look, that was really tragic, and they just, maybe they just don't play football anymore, they just don't, you know, they go on to do something else, or, I don't know, retire early from football in some way, shape or form. Like, the fact that some of them, a lot of them didn't do it, didn't do that and just kept going is a really, really remarkable thing. So, says it, post-Munich side, so let's read through this a little bit, it's a bit of what I'm talking about now. After the crash, Bosby built a new side around Munich survivors, including Harry Gregg, I think we read his name out earlier, Sir Bobby Charlton, Bill Foulkes, and a number of surviving players, including Albert Scanlon, Kenny Morgans, and Dennis Violet, resumed their careers but moved on to other clubs in the 4 years following the disaster, as well as promoting reserve and youth players, including Shea Brennan, Johnny Giles, to the first team. Bosby also delved into the transfer market to sign players including David Hurd, Albert Quaxel, and of course Dennis Law. So yeah, Dennis Law, and of course Northern Irish teenager George Best, who I think personally, now I've only seen YouTube bits, obviously I wasn't around to see him play, I think is the best player I've ever seen. Based on what I've seen, anyway, was scouted for Man United by Bob Bishop and signed to the club's playing staff by Chief Scout Joe Armstrong, making his first team senior debut in September 1963. Bosby successfully rebuilt United as he guided them to a 3-1 victory over Leeds in the 1963 FA Cup final. They were league champions in 1965 and again in 1967. With a defeat on the final day, they were champions in 1956 and again in 1967. With a defeat on the final day of the 67-68 season. So yeah, that's the next one. Yes, rivals Manchester City snatched the title away. So Man City have been a tiny bit somewhat relevant before 2012, but not by a ton. Although they didn't do much after that, did they? So, Yeah, again, this is kind of what I would applaud. This specifically is the section I would applaud him for the most, is rebuilding this team after that tragedy and picking up these, got George Best, got Dennis Law, some Man United's greatest legends as well, at least some of the ones that I kind of recognise in that. All right, let's read this last bit. It says retirement here. So, the biggest success of his career came on 29th of May 1968 when the team won the European Cup. He retired as manager at the end of the season. Sorry, at the end of the following season, having announced his intention to do so on 14th of January 1969, but remained as the club director, handing over managerial duties to trainee and former player Wilf McGuinness. I think I've heard that name before, yeah. When McGuinness was sacked in 1970, Busby returned to the manager's seat on an interim basis until a new permanent manager. At the end of the season, the job went to Frank O'Farrell in 71 after United were unsuccessful in approaching Jock Steen and Don Reeve. I've not heard of some of these names. He carried on as a club director for 11 years before being made president. Not president of America, obviously president of the club, in 1980. Busby was awarded the CBE in 1958 and was knighted following, so became Sir, of course, following the European Cup victory in 1968 before being made a knight commander of St. Gregory by the Pope in 1972. This guy had a very, very eventful life, didn't he? Wow. Certainly. Yeah, the 3 years, of course, so 68, 99, 08, those are our three, apart from Europa League, those are our three, like, European title winning years. Because numbers get a bit iffy when it's like, okay, we have 13 league titles, but we've finished top of the league, regardless of its name, 20 times. So, there you go. Let's kind of... honours. This is the last bit I want to kind of read. So, I know I have been doing a lot of reading. Yeah, there's just a lot of information to get through. So, player. Manchester City FA Cup in 1933-34. Gosh, that's a long time ago. That it says just that as a player. It did say he played for Liverpool, but didn't win anything for Liverpool. Which is both good and bad. Because Liverpool not winning something, cool. But that meant that he didn't win something. So, manager, Manchester United, First Division, 52, 56, 57, 65, 67. FA Cup, 48, 63. FA Charity Shield, I think we call that the Community Shield now? Yeah. 52, 56, 57, 65, it says shared. And then 67, shared. And then, of course, the glorious European Cup. 1968. Individual, PFA Merit Award, English Football Hall of Fame Manager 2002, English Hall of Fame Manager 2008, ESPN 7th Greatest Manager of All Time 2013, France Football 11th Greatest Manager 2019, World Soccer 36th Greatest Manager of All Time 2013. And then some other things as well, his knighthoods, and some other things. So, I don't know what exactly else to read through particularly, but the most interesting personal thing I find here is that he did pass away in that January, and then I was born in April, but I am... See, there's like, not really a small amount of conflict, and of course I couldn't choose what my name was at birth, because that's not how that works. But, okay, him playing for City and Liverpool, that was way before today, I suppose. He did win something with City, which does feel slightly strange, but obviously can forgive him, given, the incredible story he went through with Manchester United, not just winning us a bunch of stuff, but also the whole Munich air disaster and how we recover things after that, and just like rebuilding the team after that is just I think that's like, regardless of the league titles he's won and the European Cup, obviously that's all very special, but you gotta say the most difficult thing and the most impressive thing and probably his life's life's biggest achievement, maybe. I know he did get knighted and stuff like that, which is very, very good. But not only not giving up and like didn't quit or anything, but rebuilding the team after that Munich air disaster, I don't think that's something that should be forgotten. And I almost do think it's kind of, again, I don't want to raise it too much, but when people do say, oh, Klopp and Pep are like the best two of all time, it's like, that almost is a little bit like, unless you know about this, which obviously I've learned some things today, I would almost consider that to be like disrespectful in a certain way, to like what, because okay, like for my life, because obviously he's before my lifetime, Sir Matt Busby, because he passed away before I was born, for my lifetime and the managers that have been around since 94, Sir Alex Ferguson's the greatest of all time, and you'd still say he is, because again, he did win more stuff than Matt Busby. He did do the treble and did do 2 three-peats. He did do, you know, obviously 130 league titles. That is more than what Matt Busby won. But then again, if you go back a little bit, and like let's say the Busby Babes never gets rebuilt or anything like that, who knows what would have even happened to Manchester United as a football club itself. So you've got this kind of almost like butterfly domino aspect where it's like, okay, Sir Alex Ferguson still won more and still did the best things, including the treble and all that. But if like, because clubs, like there's no guarantee that clubs like continue to exist no matter what. There's clubs that have gone under, there's clubs that have like gone into administration for usually for financial reasons, but still, if you take the idea that, okay, if the Busby Babes never got rebuilt, if things never recovered, we could have ended up as some kind of like unknown, forgettable kind of League Two or even non-league team that just, That Manchester United that we know now, like the more like the Sir Alex Ferguson one, that might have never even happened, maybe, if we never recovered from before that. So, I mean, credit to both of them anyway. They've obviously both done incredible things. But, and yeah, you could argue, like, okay, is Sir Matt Busby's rebuild of Man United more important than the treble? I still would say the night that Ollie kicked that ball in the goal to make it 2-1, that is Manchester United's greatest ever night and moment. Obviously, winning the first European Cup, that's very special. But the treble's also very, like, maybe it's just when I've grown up and stuff, and the treble is the most important thing to me, maybe. But the greatest thing, well, the greatest thing to happen to Man United is Ollie kicking the ball in the net and us winning the treble in 99. But that doesn't happen, probably. I mean, maybe it does. I doubt it, because of the state of the team would have been in, and you just lost a bunch of the team. Not even through, like, sales or anything like that. They died, you know. That's incredibly difficult to recover from. Because the thing is as well, like, if you, okay, you have this successful team, they win some things, and then some of them die in a really bad tragedy. What about if the team, let's say you do rebuild and you end up with 22 or 24 players or whatever it is. What if they're not as good as what came before, and Man United as a football club just don't recover? Then you don't get, you know, then you might not get the class of 92. You might not get all of that. So I don't know. It's but I'm grateful that both things, both sections of those stories, those pieces of history for Man United, both worked out, of course, because it led to us being an incredible football club. So I'm incredibly grateful to Sir Matt Busby and to Sir Alex Ferguson and to a bunch of these other legends as well. Yeah, that was some of the history of Sir Matt Busby. I'm not sure if I should sit here and like read loads of other things, but I wanted to focus on the guy's career as manager and the whole Busby Babes and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's quite an incredible history, Man United itself anyway. So obviously there's the whole Newton Heath part as well. So I'm just reading through, yeah, play for Scotland as well. But so all this goes back quite a bit, doesn't it? Signed age 18 for Man City on a 1-year contract. Hang on a second. This is quite funny. Age 18, just says Busby here. Signed for Manchester City on a 1-year contract worth £5 per week. Couldn't imagine that now, could you? £5 per week. That's less than what I make. That's less than what most people in a good economy make, £5 a week. On 11th of February 1928. Damn. £5 a week. You think now, like, over in Saudi, 2-3 million a week. Premier League now, 400 grand a week. No, £5 a week. Yeah. It's crazy how times have changed. So, anyway, that's kind of the history of Sir Matt Busby. I think I did hear what I wanted to do. Maybe I did a little bit too much reading. You can let me know. Let me know your thoughts, feelings, and stuff like that, and comments on Sir Matt Busby. What do you think of his history? Did you learn anything new from that? I certainly did as well. I knew about some of the stuff, but learned some new things there today. But I forgive you for playing for City and Liverpool because of obviously what you did for Manchester United. So, no harm done. No harm done. Rest in peace to him, of course, as well. But it's just interesting, like the most personal thing to learn here is that he passed away 4 months before I was born. That's some interesting timing. But anyway, MatthewInEntertainmentTalk.org, Twitter, eTalkUK, and there's information in the show notes, including an email box in there as well. If you scroll down a little bit, you can find that as well. United Cast will also obviously continue throughout the season until the end of the season, covering some of those games. Got an FA Cup final coming up. Sorry, semi-final, excuse me. No disrespect to Coventry. I like to think of us in the final already. But that will be, the 20th, so just a couple of days after my birthday. So let's hope Man United can do the business there. And do Man United proud and hopefully go on and win the FA Cup this year as well. We shall see. In the meantime, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, entertainment talk, TV, games, films, Man United podcast. Check out what we do. All that sort of stuff as well. Word of mouth, social media, let other people know about what we're doing, where they can find it. If someone mentions something we podcast on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Free podcast review options, look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news over on geektown.co.uk, Geektown Radio on Tuesdays, look out for that as well. So it will be Wednesday when this gets posted, so there should be a new episode of Geektown Radio ready and available from the previous day. Beck's on hiatus at the moment. She may or may not be back by the time this comes out, I don't know. But you can go and check out her stuff, go and support her. She's on hiatus at the moment. But Trista, BYTES, across Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and other platforms as well, of course. Me over on Twitch, eTalkUK, that's for the Xbox games. YouTube, Entertainment Talk Players, that's for PlayStation 5 games, and for the archives of the Twitch streams, and for game clips. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Sir Matt Busby. And all the other legends as well. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening. And I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.